I want to start with a question. I see that, Pastor Eugene said, we are loving each other, loving community. The question is, do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Yes? Amen or no man? Amen. Yeah?
Yes.
Then, do you love Jesus more than your life or more than your husband and wife? Did you hear that? The English word love, today has become like a cheap Valentine's chocolate. Who didn't buy Valentine's chocolate on Valentine's Day? And who finished to eat? Yeah. There is no value in this world anymore today. If you like it, take it. If you don't like it, throw it away. Or kept on shelf after years. Still, I see next to Valentine's, same chocolate that I got, So, how much do you really love Jesus with the value of Valentine's chocolate? It is interesting to see that the Bible never used the word love in Hebrew, ahava, directly for God's love in Hebrew. Never. You can see on your, you can see that Exodus 34:6 describes God's love, right? Can you read, Pastor Eugene, that verse? You have it on the paper. Anyone can read? Yeah, please. Yes. Actually, here, if I translate right according to Hebrew grammar, by Kra Adonai, Adonai El Rahom, so God declared, Adonai, the Jehovah, God declared that Jehovah is God of Raham. And we have three Hebrew words that we have to learn. Next one. It is Raham, Chesed, Emet. Chesed, Raham, Emet. You can see these three words on your paper. This word is, actually explaining what God's love is. And in the Old Testament, Ahava, the general meaning of love, never used to present the attribute or character of God's love. And it used only when it explains the action of love. God loved us, Elohim Ohevotano, God loved us. But what the love is, what the love of God is, never used this word. Used these three words instead. So what does that mean? First of all, chesed. In English, chesed. Let's say it together. Chesed. You should learn this word because this word is the fundamental foundation of entire Bibles. Okay? Chesed is father's love. Father's love. Probably you have children, right? You have children? How many kids?
Just one.
One, yeah. So probably, what's his name?
Ayana.
Ayana. girl?
Yes.
Okay, so probably you are a very good father, and she never disobeyed. You know, she'll follow all command that you said and all the instruction you said, 100%. Did she?
Sort of.
You're a good father. Mine did not. You know, this is Chesed is has two sides, you know, king or, you know, others, and God, and people, father, children, you know, two sides. So Chesed is a reciprocal activity of love, two sides, okay? So as a father, you pour your love to your children, right? You try to take care of, you try to supply every, you know, your children need, right? As emotion of love, action of love, right? And you take care of them, and you try to teach them. So this is, you know, love with loyalty. It's love with faithfulness. And in English, your translation said just, you know, love is God's faithful love, or trusted love. That's how your English Bible translates, but it's a lot more than that. It's a conditionless love. So when you love your children in that way, you expect also something from your children. First, respect, obedience, loyalty, right? But it doesn't happen all the time. You know that, you know? You just, you know, children run away, you know, and get angered, you know, become rebellious, you know? Then do you cease your love to them? No. You love them even more, right? You're trying to show your love more. This is what Chesed is. God loved us so much. So much. And God expected, you know, our loyalty, our obedience, you know, our respect, right? But always, always, the human being, you know, all the human beings became so rebellious. Nevertheless, God never ceased to love us, no matter what. That's Chesed, and this love of Chesed is a foundation of entire Old Testament and the New Testament, and the Old Covenant and the Old Bible is written on the, you know, basis of Chesed. That's what Chesed is. If you don't understand Chesed, then you don't understand the Bible. You don't understand God. Then what is Raham? This is motherly love. And sorry for guys, you don't understand. You cannot understand. Okay. If you open Isaiah 49:15, okay, 49:15, the verse says, in Hebrew it says, Tishkach isha ola merachem. So a woman, a pregnant woman, can't forget the children, child in the womb. Here in womb, in Hebrew, is rechem. So we see it, raham is God's love, and rechem is woman's womb. And we see the same letter, Hebrew letter, used for God's love. You know, your Bible translates as grace or mercy, right? And God's love and the woman's womb, same Hebrew letter. Why is that? Because that's what Raham is. Raham, so when a woman, you know, is pregnant, then that 9 months, you know that, you know, not comfortable and sometimes kicked, you know, baby kicks and the pain that wake up in the middle of night, you know, that 9 months is suffering, painful, inconvenience, but you have full of love, you know, for a baby and waiting for 9 months, you know, singing for the baby in your womb. So what is Raham? Raham is enduring love. You know, actually enduring all the pain, all the sufferings, and conditionless love. It's one-sided love. Unlike the chesed, it's a one-sided love. Mom is pouring, you know, love for children, no matter what. Just a one-sided love, right? Mom is ready to die. I just heard a news a few days ago when the Russia bombed the maternity hospital. You saw that, right? And I saw the woman, you know, yelling to doctor, 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 if I, you know, I and my baby should die and kill me and let him alive. She was shouting. In the end, both of them died. But that's what Raham is. She was ready to die for her baby. That was what Raham is. And God actually crucified for us, for his children. Going through the, you know, horrible pains on the cross, humiliations. That's how God loved us. That's the love of Raham that we got from the Lord. Then Emet. What is Emet? Emet actually has same root, Hebrew root as Amen. You know, you said Amen today. It's love with righteousness and justice. Because of love, you know, Emet, God's judgment is always right. As a father, you know, punish his child when he did wrong, go to your room, okay, for a whole day. Probably you have done, right? Many times. But his punishment is right because he's doing it with love to fix him, to discipline him, right? That's what Emet is. God punished us to purify us, to discipline us, to teach us. But it's from his love, love of Emet. Now, God made a covenant with Abraham. And it is a blood covenant. Right? God ordered him to cut animal, put one side, the other side, blind, right? It's a covenant that, you know, with the blood sheddings. I don't have time to explain all details, but this covenant means sharing life, okay? Sharing life. When two sides, you know, two person or two sides made a covenant, in Hebrew it's called brit. When they made brit covenant, and they understand, both sides understand that we share life. And when one side broke covenant, and that person should pay a price with his own life. There is no other price, no other way, okay? So the person should die. That's the only way that he can pay back to, you know, breaking the covenant. Then who broke the covenant that we made with God. Not you, me. Right? And who should pay the price? Yeah. But who really paid the price? God, our God, right? This is Chesed and Racham of God. If you open Isaiah 53, verse 4 through 6, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrow. Yet we consider him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. Okay? He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wound we are healed. Then John 3:16, everybody remember that, okay? For everybody together, for God so loved the world that he gave his only one son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Here, the English word so is kind of not clear what that means so. You know, many people understand so loved. No. The Greek word is auto. It's, you know, like this. God loved the world like this. This, you know, kind of precedent event there was. And before John 3:16, there was a story of Nicodemus, but it doesn't explain how God loved us. But so is kind of summary of entire Old Testament. You know, we see it in the Old Testament. God loved Israel so much, then they become rebellious and sinned, and God punished them and restored and loved them again. But again, Israel become rebellious and so on, again and again and again. Right? But God never ceased to love Israel, no matter how rebellious they become. This is how much God loved the world, that he gave his begotten Son for us. Then Paul commanded us to have the mind of Christ in 2 Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Have the same attitude among yourself that was also in Christ Jesus. Some other translations say it, have this mind. Okay? The word is, the Greek word is proneo. Proneo means, you know, it's a heart or thinking or attitude, so like a sermon. So literally, proneo means doing like a Christ, thinking like a Christ, and live like a Christ. This is the meaning. And this is a command. Have this mind. It's not a suggestion, right? Is it a command only for me? Not for you? For everyone, right? So, God emptied his divine form, not the character, not divine divinity, his divine form of God took the form of servant. How nice in English. The Hebrew, the Greek word doulos is slave. You know, he took the form of a slave, died on the cross for sinners. For whom? For you and me. Right? This is the heart and the life of Christ. Right? God loved us so much as he could give up his form of divinity. Hello, he was our creator. He created you. He owned the entire universe. And he emptied his form of divinity and came down as a form of small, powerless baby. For whom? For you and me. And if you go to Israel in Nazareth, there's a place where Jesus lived. It's a cave. In that small cave, Jesus lived in 30 years. Our Creator, the Creator of the universe, our God, lived in such a smelly, dusty cave for 30 years. For whom? Now you want to say it. God's love is plain, like a mayo. No flavor. Nothing? Yeah? God's love is so radical, isn't it? Extremely radical, isn't it? And God is always, God has been always radical in entire Bibles. But our Western mentality is always seeking, you know, in the middles. Don't be extreme. Don't be radical. That's not good. Okay? And they make mayo Christian, I call them, without any flavor. Like a Valentine's chocolate. Okay? That's what happens. When you say, I love Jesus, what that means? Do you understand what you mean? When you say, I love Jesus, God loved us in, you know, extreme way that beyond our imaginations. With Chesed, Raham, Amen. He emptied his form of divinity, a divine form. He emptied his divine form. He's still God, but divine form for you, for me. We have to understand that. This is how God loved us. And you say it's plain. No. You know, in Western mentality, not only America, in the Europe too, they don't like the word radical because it has been used in a negative way in politics, you know, in societies. But we should be, you know, we should live in radical love. And again, this is a command. Okay? Not my command, it's command that Paul said. Have this mind. And I see in the church, so many churches, you know, and they just dry spiritually. Why? Because we don't have, you know, we don't live in that radical love, in the burning heart that God gave us. And we should live in this love every day. And you should be ready to die for your next person. This is the radical love of God, isn't it? Amen. Why it is important to make a disciple, radical disciple of Yeshua? That's what I do. It is because the world that you are living is becoming more and more loveless and full of hatred and full of fears. You can see that. You know, just a couple of days ago, I visited one of the biggest Korean church down there in Orange County, Grace Church. And they kicked me out because I didn't put on the mask. Really? Hello, Kelly. Really? They asked me to put on the mask. I said, well, that's not a regulation, isn't it? And they said, yes, that's our regulation. to seek care of people, not to speak out, not to, you know, sing the worship with a full of heart, you know, asking us, be quiet in the sanctuary of God. Can you believe it? 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come the time of difficulties. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swallowing in conceit, loves of pleasure rather than loves of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Sounds familiar, isn't it? Every day we see that. Every day. The world getting more evil and full of hatred. This is what Satan does. But the best weapon against the hatred is the radical love of God. The best cure for the hatred of fear is the radical love of God. And we should live in it every day and serve the Lord through it. 2,000 years ago, love of God on the cross changed the entire world. 12 disciples changed the entire world when they lived, served, and witnessed and multiplied with God's radical love. The entire world has changed. Now we have more than 12 here. Right? Aren't we? Then are we changing our world? Or are we changing Granada Hills? Why we cannot? Why we cannot change the world as 12 disciples did? The only difference is they lived, served, witnessed, and multiplied with God's radical love. Full of their life. Every life, daily life, was full of, you know, love, the radical love of God. And that's how they changed the world. Today we see so many marketing of gospels. I turned on radio, Christian radio, Calvary Chapel, okay? And a lot of advertisement of churches and worship service. Hello, don't market gospel. You have to live in it. Don't sell the gospel in the bargain price, in the price of the bargain, Valentine's chocolate. You have to live in it. You have to prove it. And people will see you are different. Yourself, your life is the witness. Okay? 1,000 times, 1,000 words from your tongue doesn't mean anything for those seculars. They will, you know, they are watching you. How you live, don't they? And when you live in it, and when you see that you are different, when you see that you are living in the radical love of God, they will ask you, they will come to you, okay, and ask you why you are different. That happened all the time in Israel, in Germany. You have to live in the love. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was killed by Nazis, said, when Christ called man, he bids him to come and die. In his book of discipleship, he said, costly love is the gospel. Such love is costly because it calls us to follow. It is love because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it costs a man his life. It is love because it gives a man the only true life. It is costly because it condemns sin. Love because it justifies the sinner through forgiveness. Above all, it is costly because it cost God the life of his son. You were bought at a price, and what has cost God much cannot cheap for us. Right? We have costly love. It's a really expensive love that we cannot buy at all, but God gave us in his grace. Cheap love. Cheap love is preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without a church discipline, communion without confessions. When you say, I love Jesus, think again what that love means to you. I served in Jewish ministry over 30 years. I see many different levels of hatred and fears among Israelis and Germans and everywhere. But God said, love your enemy. And Kelly told me that you watched Jabina, the movie, right? Everybody? Yeah. And you see what is the meaning of loving enemy. She hugged the killer of her sisters, kissed them, and cooked dinner. And the killer became a believer. Right? We cannot love our enemy by myself. You need the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, yes, you can hug your enemy who's trying to kill you. And John 4:7-8 said, dear friend, let us love one another, because love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born again because of what God has done. The person knows God. Anyone who does not know God, because God is love. We have to understand, if we don't love our enemy, we don't have God inside. This is a scary word. No matter if you claim, you know, that I'm a Christian, but if you don't have love and you have hatred against your enemy, you know, then God is not theirs. Just a few days ago, I met an Ukrainian family, and first time, just I greeted him in Russian by mistake. Okay, Здравствуйте, and he was looking at me. Don't speak Russian to me, with a full of anger. I understand him. I understand him really, but hatred is not from God. One day, God asked me if I love Germans. I said, no. I told God, Father, I didn't come to Germany to love German, okay? I came for Jewish people in Berlin. That's what I came for. I don't love German. I don't want to love them. Because they spat on me. They yell at me. You know, they push me. I don't love them. Then ask me again, do you love Germans? No. Then show me the Philippians 2. After reading this, I realized that I don't have any right to hate anyone. I have a duty and obligation to love everyone, including our enemy. That's what I'm doing, the radical disciples, through radical love of God. We have to be radical disciples, living, serving, witnessing, multiplying with his radical love. Do you love Jesus? Then are you radical disciple of Jesus? Amen. I want to ask you to pray for us. And also in the end, pray for Ukrainians. We have many Ukrainian refugees, and we are focusing on helping Ukrainian Jewish refugees. So we need your prayer and help. Our Beit Yeshua Fellowship is working hard to help them and to evangelize those Jewish people coming to Berlin. So pray for them. Thank you so much. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord Father, that you brought us here and you gave us the radical love of God that we cannot even imagine how precious it is. And I pray, Father, that this family, your children in this church, will be radical disciples of Jesus to bring changes of this community in California and the world. Use them as your tool for your disciples and for your kingdoms. Use them, Father, to bring gospel in this darkness, Father. Thank you, Lord, Father. Bless Pastor Ron and his ministry and this church. And make them as a lighthouse in this place, Father. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, I pray. Amen.